I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. The Philadelphia Eagles, the birds, flew into town and received an ass-kicking. Raiders win 33-22. Derek Carr, 31 of 34, the most accurate game of his almost eight-season career. 324 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Jalen Hurts, 18 of 34, 236 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Josh Jacobs went out at halftime. Darren Waller didn't play at all with an ankle injury, and it still did not slow down this Raiders offense at all, Soto.
Yeah, the first drive was a little shaky. And I was a little bit worried. Everything that we couldn't do, we were doing in the beginning of the game. We turned the ball over. We were letting him run the ball. We weren't getting pressure. We let a big play go up the seam. It's like, fuck, every single fuck. We turned the ball over on our end. Every single thing that we couldn't do or we didn't want to have happen was happening. And I'm like, oh, shit, here we go again. Can I text you guys? A big tell for us is it. Do we play up against teams we are not favored against? It's do we stomp and do we beat these teams that we should beat? And that's where we have had trouble in the past.
Yeah.
And this was a game that we should have won. We should have won by double digits, which we did. And we ended up doing. We got on the running game. The power running scheme is, Jesus, it's working amazing. Mm-hmm. The inside runs are really doing well. And yeah, man, it was a great all-around effort. I said it last week, I'm not a really big fan of the prevent defense, and it just slows down a team from scoring. And when they have a ton of time to score, I mean, they score twice at the end. But we had the lead. We went down, got a field goal, extended the lead. So, you know, a lot of good stuff here, a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff, obviously, to be happy about. And it's a standard issue Raider game this season where it's a win and the things that the Raiders did poorly, we kind of know that we do poorly and it's the same things to kind of work on, which if you want something to go wrong, at least it's something that you know that consistently goes wrong and not a new problem that you don't know about, right? Yeah. So we'll get to that in a minute. But again, Derek Carr, lights out, 31-34, the most accurate game of his career. No Darren Waller. And I said at the very beginning of the season where it's like, all right, how's Darren Waller going to do this season? I think he's going to take a step back, not because he's playing worse or because he's going to regress. It's just the rest of the team is getting better. And Derek Carr is going to have more targets. You know, I think Ruggs is going to do better. Edwards is going to do better. Kenyon Drake at the backfield is going to be now, a three down receiving target, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we saw that. Quiet game. For a lot of the big playmakers, Foster Moreau stepped up huge with the number one tight end, Darren Waller out, number three tight end, Derek Carrier out. And normally a third string tight end isn't a big deal when they're injured for most teams.
He's the best blocking tight end we have, dude. We use him a lot.
Not for the Raiders. Like, we do a lot of three tight end sets, a lot of formations with three tight ends. So Foster Moreau, one of the best games of his career, six receptions, 60 yards, touchdown. Gosh. Renfro went big, seven receptions, 58 yards. Brian Edwards got a touchdown as well. That is kind of what after game one, after Darren Waller got 19 targets, it's like, okay, yeah, let's go to Darren Waller 10 times a game, 20 times a game, 30 times a game.
They weren't doubling him.
Until you cover him, we'll throw to him all day long. Without him, didn't miss a beat, which is awesome and an absolute nightmare for defensive coordinators moving forward. Who do you double cover? Who do you let open? Who do you focus on this Raiders offense when anybody can beat, when the second string tight end can beat you, a second year receiver who was quiet last season can beat you. Hunter Renfro, who's built like me, can beat you. You can't cover everybody.
Not from the waist down.
You say that from experience?
Listen, I needed the money. All right.
So you're young. You need the money. I get it.
It's college. To your point, Derek Carr still had over 300 yards, right? He had a much more of this world average, 9.5, as opposed to 12.6. I emphasized that on the wrap-up show. That's just unworldly. 12.6 yards average is unworldly. 9.5 is, we said 10 is really good. 9.5 is like, that's still good. But Foster Moreau, to your point, led the team in receiving yards with 60. You can't really game plan to take away a specific tool from David Carr. I did the same fucking thing Vilma did. And I told myself, God, what a fucking douchebag. And I did the same goddamn thing. Derek Carr, but I caught myself. Derek Carr.
With David Carr's salon quality hair, I can understand how it's
I'm
in your
fucking
head.
Jealous, bro. This
fucking dude, let's see that balding. Yeah.
God damn. Balding nothing, man. I was balding when I was 24.
Bald.
I'm shaved though now. I still have a little cul-de-sac if I let the hair grow out. But yeah, dude, I'm fucking jealous of that hair, dude. That hair is fucking next level.
Money.
So he had what? 8 targets? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 targets. So 9 pass catchers. The most yards anyone got was 60. It's gonna be tough for defensive coordinators moving forward.
Yeah.
It's especially like I said in the wrap-up show on Wednesday. The biggest tool that Gruden didn't use was Carr's brain. And, okay, your scheme to take away this throw on this call, fine. I have 3 other guys that I have full confidence in. Yep. Ingold had like a 40-yard, 20-30-yard. Yeah, 29-yard reception. It's going to be very difficult when you can't key in on something. And of course, you want to take away the big weapons. But, I mean, what big weapon are you going to take away? You have Waller, you have Ruggs. If you don't key on him, he's just gonna take the top off. Then you have Edwards. It's like, okay, he's the big receiver. He's like not as big and flashy as Waller. He's not as fast as Ruggs, but he's got great hands. He's a big target, and he was like a top 3, you know, speed ball carrier for a week in the NFL. That's not, you know, you gotta be fast to do that. And then you have, you know, oh, I have Kenyon Drake, a home run hitter. I have Ingold, a solid blocker, but who has great hands. And you have Renfro. I didn't even say Renfro. Renfro probably the best route runner or the route runner on our team. It's a scary, scary offense.
There was a throw by Derek Carr in the opening drive. And I know the opening drive didn't score, but I think that's the perfect example of how Derek Carr is playing this season, where it was an outside shoulder kind of 50-50 ball to Zay Jones. And like Zay Jones was perfectly covered. Like that corner was all over him, right? And it looked like a 50-50 ball, but Derek Carr threw it perfectly to the outside shoulder where that corner would have to have made like the play of his life to get there. Zay Jones got that ball. I think that's the perfect example because Zay Jones is like our number 6 target. Like Carr's like 6th or 7th best target, right? And even with Zay Jones.
Not in Carr's eyes. He loves him.
No. I mean, if you look at just like target totals throughout the season, he's like number 7, right? Like behind Waller, Ruggs, Renfro, Edwards, Drake, probably even Moreau. Like anyway, whatever the number is, like he's low on the target total. And even with Zay Jones, he was comfortable throwing a ball that normally the last couple seasons he wouldn't be comfortable throwing. He's like, hey, I'm not going to throw a 50-50 ball to my number 7 target. Like, I don't trust that. He trusts his receivers now. And whether that's an advancement of Carr specifically or the progression of the receivers in general, I don't care. The fact is it's there now. Derek Carr's like, all right, 50-50 ball, boom. I'm going to put it perfectly, and he did, and I have confidence in it, and it's going to go there. That's not something that we saw out of this offense the last few seasons. I mean, he'll throw wide open balls. If they're behind, he'll throw contested balls. Opening drive, 50-50 ball to his like number 7 receiver. Boom. Nailed it. Beautiful. I think that's the best example of how this offense, this passing offense specifically, is playing this season was that specific play.
Well, yeah, and how it's progressed. Now, that was a 50-50 ball in name only.
Honestly,
it was more of an 80-20 ball
because of where Carr put it. Like Carr
because
put
of,
it
yeah, because really he, well. Like Marcus Johnson was saying in our show on Wednesday, he's throwing it to window. So he threw it to a window where either it was going to be completed or was going to be knocked away.
Yep.
One of the two things, because he noticed that although Zay Jones was still looking over his shoulder, he saw the back of the DB. So, okay, the DB's not looking. I could put it in this window. He's not going to be able to track the ball. So he's either going to catch it or it's going to fall incomplete. It's almost a literally zero chance he was going to intercept it.
Yep.
But and so that's those are the ways you can throw those quote unquote 50-50 balls, but still have it stacked in your favor. Mm-hmm. And when you know, when Zay Jones has been building that relationship with Carr, he's the first one there. He's never missed a throwing day or extra practice or extra session. You get that comfortable feeling with someone. You're able to do that and know that, okay, if I put it where I'm going to put it or I need to put it, he's going to make a play on it. Yeah. And he's not going to hurt me. He's going to protect me throwing that ball.
So this was a really big win for the Raiders. Not that, you know, beating the 2-4 Eagles was a big deal or, you know, it was like a critical time. Like, we got a bye coming up. But this was big in the sense that if you look at the historically the winning percentage of interim coaches, they're actually really good the game they become the interim coach.
The first game.
Their winning percentage is pretty good. And remember, normally when an interim coach gets put into position, it's because the team sucks, right? Like, normally coaches get fired because the team's terrible, late in the season, team's awful. So even winning in those situations is better than winning in general because you're taking over a crappy team. We got that win over the Broncos, dominant win over the Broncos last week. Once the kind of honeymoon period ends with an interim coach, the winning percentage starts to take a nosedive, right?
Yeah.
Generally. So that's why this win meant so much. And not just a win, but a blowout win up until, you know, mid fourth quarter. The honeymoon period has ended after that first game with Rich Bisaccia as our new interim head coach. And still they're playing fantastic. And still the offense is rolling. Defense is holding their own or better. Special teams through the roof like they've been all season. This was a giant statement win for the Raiders and Rich Bisaccia specifically, where normally, you know, interim coaches, like, reality starts to hit them as games go by. This was big. This was really, really big for Rich Bisaccia.
And this is what I was talking about when you can use the Gruden firing, quitting, whatever you want to call it, as a rallying cry. Is it going to be like, woe is me, the world's
against
us?
It could be an excuse.
Yeah.
Or it could be a rallying cry.
Well, yeah. Even if it's a rallying cry, it's like there's two ways you could look at it. Either it's, woe is us, everyone's against us, but we need to persevere. That's like the underdog mentality.
Yep.
But the other mentality is, dude, we're still a top flight team. If we do what we need to do, we're going to win a lot of games. Bisaccia's at the helm right now. He can do it. He knows what he's talking about. We just need to go out and do our job, and we're going to win. Mm-hmm. And have that mentality of, we're just that good. We're better. We're better than this other team. That's why we're going to win. We're not going to win because we're going to rally together. Because when you rally together, guess what? You can't build those emotions every single time.
Yeah,
it's hard to kind of get over that underdog mentality. But we don't have that. We know we're better.
Continuing with the offense, the Raiders didn't punt until 20 seconds left in the third quarter.
That's one of our best weapons, too.
AJ Cole's phenomenal. AJ Cole's, he's leading the league in punts. He leads the league with 53 yards per punt. He's going to be a Pro Bowler, our punter. When you have a Pro Bowler punter with one of the best offenses in the league, that's rare, right? Like, it's one thing, like, back in the day when, who's our all pro punter, like, in the 2000s, 2010s on?
Leckler,
like Shane Leckler, right? Like, he had like a career, like a Hall of Fame career, because the Raiders' offense was so bad and he was an amazing punter. To be a Pro Bowl level punter with an amazing offense means you are an insanely good punter, right? It's like being, it's like being an all pro running back on a passing offense. Like, it's rare, right? Like, AJ Cole's gonna be a Pro Bowler on a team where he, like, rarely, like, we rarely need his services.
We literally had the fattest kickers in the league. For like 14 years.
There was a period where our punter, kicker, and head coach, Leckler, Janikowski, and Jack Del Rio,
could
beat up every other punter, kicker, and head coach in football. Like, the other 32 teams. Like,
it wasn't even close either.
Del Rio would mess up any head coach in the football at the time.
Janikowski. Even Tom Cable, dude. Tom Cable is a big dude, yeah, too. You see, he's like a pair.
Mean.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. I apologize, Shane Leckler. You were probably about 260, 270. You weren't three bills. Janikowski, yeah, you were three bills, bro. Don't.
Three fight. Bills benching three bills.
Easy, bro. That was he would roll out of bed, eat a breakfast.
He could beat up, out bench, and out drink every other kicker in football.
And out Bill Cosby, too. You forgot about Ray Bukowski, huh? Dumbass.
The best part of Bukowski was Janikowski was when he tried to bribe that cop for his buddy. You heard that story? He was just putting $100 bills onto the windshield of the car, and his excuse after was like, I'm from Poland. I don't understand how the law enforcement works. I thought the bail system was you just put $100 bills on a windshield to try to bribe the cop.
And still nothing happened to him.
Treating Oakland PD like it's the like the Tijuana Federales. Great. Offensive line played really well today.
Better.
It's trending in the right direction. And again, we've been saying for as long as this podcast has been around, Tom Cable, we trust him. If anyone can do it, he can. And it was shady. It was rough go early for Tom Cable in this offensive line during the season. It was just playing terrible. Like, ugh, it's Tom Cable over his head. Like, you know, is him maybe? Improvement is what we're seeing week to week to week with Tom Cable's offensive line, which is all you can ask for when it's just decimated by injuries, a bunch of young guys just kind of like Tetrising this thing together. All you can ask for is improvement every single week, and we're getting it. I can only imagine how I'm hoping they use this bye week to really send this O-line in the stratosphere. Like, that's the goal.
You know,
Eagles defensive line's good. Like, it's quality, and they manhandle.
That's about as good a defensive line as a whole. Maybe not the top end players that we've seen, but as far as a collective, yeah, they're
shut
a really
down Von Miller last week. Shut down Fletcher Cox this week. That's
dude. Did you see on that Drake touchdown run? Alex Leatherwood just grab Fletcher Cox and just throw him side to the ground.
Yeah,
he like no threw flag. Him and then he rolled. No, it wasn't a hold. He just grabbed him and just threw him to the ground. Like, just there you go.
Look, we've been hard on Leatherwood. You the most so. He still has great plays. Like, he gets multiple pancakes a game. He gets blown out multiple times a game, embarrassingly, and he gets penalties. He had one or two penalties today.
Yeah, I think he had two penalties. We had seven penalties for 65 yards today.
So he obviously has his giant screw ups, but he has his big plays. Like, he has his moments. Like,
he's had multiple pancakes a game. You know? But the thing is
I don't know. You said you could play better than him, so make sure you stick with
that. I said I could at least slow down Joey Bosa once. That's what I could do.
You could play better than first round pick Alex Leatherwood.
I said I could have played better than he played that week because he did not slow Joe Bosa down at all.
I will allow you to change your narrative week to week.
Oh my God.
Anything else on the offense? Kenyon Drake, 14 carries, 69 yards, touchdown. Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs, knocking on the door of 5 yards per carry, which is massive.
That's what we need.
Josh Jacobs went out, chest injury at halftime. No updates on that. Darren Waller, ankle injury, didn't play at all. Neither one of those sound real bad to me, injury-wise. But again, lights out by Derek Carr, run game better than decent for the first time in a while. No Darren Waller, still the passing game, didn't miss a beat. Only one turnover on the offense. Kind of a weird interception by Carr, kind of behind the receiver.
That was a bad pass.
Hit it.
It was.
You know, it was like 75 Carr, 25% receiver. But that was it.
It was a bad pass. Let's just call it what it was. It was a bad pass. He was pressured, but it was still a bad pass. You're asking a running back who is going out into the flat, you know, to reach around and go against his momentum to one hand the ball. That's just not going to happen. Yeah. One thing I want to point out, and it's against the the defensive line that we went against today.
Okay.
Derek Carr, zero sacks.
Yeah.
Zero sacks. Part of that was Carr getting the ball out early, quickly, which he knows how to do. Mm-hmm. But he had some deep shots too, man. The long, you know, Foster Moreau had a 20-yard catch. Edwards, a 24-yard catch. Zay Jones, 43 yards. Josh Jacobs, 20 yards. Ingold, 29. I mean, he had some deep passes.
Five receivers had a 20-yard catch or deeper. Five receivers had a 20-yard catch or deeper. Without our best player, Darren Waller.
This is what I'm talking about, man.
Yep.
Who was it? I think it was on NFL Matchup or one of those fucking, you know, they call it NFL something, NFL everything, right? NFL Matchup, NFL. They were talking about how Gruden didn't utilize personnel. He utilized scheme, right? He wanted to put schemes in. It was Vilma this week said it too during the game, where he used so many groupings to confuse the different groupings to confuse the defense. And now they're just like, look, these are our best guys. If we get out there and we look at the matchups that we have with the guys that we have on the field, let's call our plays with our best guys on the field, right? I mean, we haven't really seen Snead on the field. I don't know what the fuck he was doing on the field week one when he dropped that touchdown in overtime. But, I mean, that's the type of shit that you would have seen with Gruden. You would have had people that like really aren't in the game. Oh, well, this is the grouping for this play, so let's get them out there. And that's what I was talking about. He picked specific plays to beat defenses, whereas we are looking at matchups for our best players to do it. And it's really showing because we don't really have a lot of weak links, man. I mean, the areas that need to improve are our offensive line. It's really the only thing that needs to get markedly better. Everyone else is really firing on the offensive side.
Defensively, great showing by the defense. The Eagles scored a touchdown on their very first drive. Did not score a single point until deep into the fourth quarter. Held scoreless in the second quarter, scoreless in the third quarter. Again, Jalen Hurts, 18 of 34, 236 yards, two touchdowns. Pretty good game by Hurts. He did a really good job. And again, this is going to be, we know this is what our deal is with our defensive line. A quarterback that can move is going to hurt us always. Whether they scramble for yards or they scramble for time and get yards, that's always going to be an issue with us. A mobile quarterback is always going to hurt us. So he had a decent game by Jalen Hurts standards, but we kept him in check more or less. Again, the running game, the running defense, rough. The team average, the Eagles averaged 4.2 yards per carry. Jalen Hurts went for 61 yards. Miles Sanders, thank God he was injured.
5 yards
through that game because he was averaging 5 yards a carry, six carries for 30 yards. But the rest of the team, rest of the running backs and quarterbacks for the Eagles did decently. But again, other than that fourth quarter, if you take out the fourth quarter, best defensive showing from the Raiders defense all season.
Yeah, when the Raiders ran their defense, not this prevent, when they actually ran their actual defense, Jalen Hurts got a lot of yards passing in the fourth quarter on those last two drives because we were letting him pass underneath. Before that, I mean, he probably didn't have 200 yards. He had maybe about 170-ish around there. Mm-hmm. Then he had about 60 yards in those two drives. And, I mean, defense forced two fumbles. Actually three fumbles when recovered two. It's fucking Brandon Faison, dude. Nine tackles. He led the team with nine tackles.
I was like, who's this guy?
It's fucking great. And the motherfucker had three passes defense. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? Where did this guy come from? Denzel Perryman, man, newsflash, didn't hit double digit tackles today. That was the first game. Other than the game one against the Ravens, where he didn't have double digit tackles,
he only had eight tackles, six solo, one tackle for a loss. Like a bum.
What a bum.
Faison going lights out, led the team in tackles today. I like how Ngakoue and Crosby just kind of alternate who's gonna ball out, right? Like it's always one of them. One of them's gonna get multiple sacks. The other ones, it's almost because, again, I talk about it all the time on this channel. our defensive line is constantly causing pressure, constantly causing disruptions, not getting the super high sack totals, not getting the super high like strip sacks or like, you know, forced fumbles, but they're getting consistent pressure. And if I had to pick between one of the two, give me this consistent pressure over the feast and famine sack totals, right? And so because that's how this defense is wired, one of them is always helping the other one. Max Crosby, a lot of things don't show up in the stat sheet today. He balled out, which is why Ngakoue got the sacks, got the big plays, because they're causing the disruptions. Interior defensive linemen are part of that equation as well. And this is yet another example of how our D-line plays. Not always on the stat sheet, constant disruption. And because that's happening, someone's going to end up balling out because all four guys in the defensive line are doing something. The offensive coordinator is going to key on somebody, right? That O-line is going to key on something. Someone is going to eventually be free. We are not dependent on one. Even though Max Crosby is our star, Yannick Ngakoue is our high-priced free agent. Love it. Mwah. Awesome. We are not dependent on him the way other teams are, right? Like we just need Von Miller to score, for, you know, to get there for us. We need so-and-so to get there for us. Not our defense. It is a team effort on that D-line.
It's very similar to our offense.
Yeah, 100%.
We have – I mean, of course, Carr is on the offense, and we couldn't be running the same without him.
Sure.
But, man, we have a lot of key contributors to this defense, and you can't double-team Crosby and Ngakoue. Mm-hmm. You can't really chip both of them because you're really – watering down your offense and your the offensive capabilities if you do both to both. Mm-hmm. So like you said, either one or the other. And fuck, man, it's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good, and hopefully we can make some even more improvements, and we can identify some tendencies that we've had the last couple of weeks. So we can use those tendencies to build, you know, some new tendencies off of those. So we're not so predictable, even though we're not that predictable now, but we always have tendencies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to us going. I mean, 5-2 leading into the bye week. That's about what I was hoping for, realistically.
That's beyond what we could have hoped for, right? Like that is – if you look at our early schedule at the beginning of the season, you're like, ugh, Steelers – you know, Ravens, you know, Dolphins won 10 games last season. It's like, oh, this is a rough run. 5-2. It's awesome.
That's good. I was optimistic. You know what? We can go 5-2. I think we could do 5-2, but we'll probably lose one of the first three. And then one of the, you know, next four, we'll probably drop one. You know, we'll have one of our typical Raider letdown games. And sure. You know, 5-2 is, you know, what I was optimistic about 5-2. And it was, you know, should have been 6-1, fucking Bears.
So the downsides of our defense gave up 15 points in the fourth quarter. This is back-to-back games where the Raiders defense has given up 14. They gave up 14 points in the fourth quarter last week, 15 points in the fourth quarter this week. Now, I'm not willing to give them a pass that it's just playing prevent defense and, you know, just keep the in front of us, let them run out the clock. Like, that's not – it's been penalties. It's been poor coverage. It's been poor tackling. It's been poor scheme. Fourth quarter has been brutal. And luckily, the last two games have been damn near blowouts until the end of the game, so it hasn't really hurt us. But this is this is something we got to keep an eye on moving forward. Fourth quarter defense has been rough the last two games. Like, beyond rough.
I'm gonna put a little bit more into it as far as the prevent defense goes. We're changing our coverage, and we're asking our DBs to do something different than where they're successful. Mm-hmm. And that's where you see mistakes happen a lot of times, when you ask someone to do something different than what they've been doing. And basically, we have a kind of a prevent defense already. That's what we do already. We just have it
more
tightened up. Yeah, and we just have it a little tighter. You know, like the sticks as opposed to 20 yards.
Yeah,
and once you do that,
tight like butthole.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't. When your defense is built around shutting down deep plays, I don't see the reason to go into a prevent defense. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and the thing is you're asking these DBs to do something different, especially the guys who play up front, the corners and the slot guys, and that's when you get the mistakes happening, man. So if the game was closer, we would have played our regular defense, and they wouldn't have gotten the yards that they did. They really would.
But again, like even if it was like schematically a semi-prevent defense, they still didn't play great. Like there were missed tackles, you know, the defensive line pressure that would have been a sack wasn't. You know, again, we're nitpicking two really great games, but this mm-hmm. is what you got to do. Like when you're playing bad teams, you got to make sure that that gap for error is as small as possible, because it's not going to be that same gap when we play Cleveland and Kansas City and, you know, these tougher games coming up on our schedule. Another big part that's not really part of like the Raiders, even when the Raiders defense is playing really well, it's not really part of their scheme, and it's the turnovers. We had a plus four turnover margin last week. We got four turnovers, gave the ball up zero. Got two fumble recoveries this season, coughed the ball once with that one bad car turnover. So 6-1 turnover ratio the last 2 weeks. Fantastic, phenomenal. Is it sustainable, Soto? Is this something that we can continue to do?
I believe it is, because
I like your
none of the stuff that would not, none of the things that we're doing is like luck. Mm-hmm. We're gang tackling. We are the first guys wrapping that guy up, then second guys going after the ball. This is like defense 101 as far as fumbles go. Creating fumbles is an art. Whether you recover those fumbles, you can definitely tip the scales in your favor. Well, you could tip the scales in your favor if you gang tackle, if you swarm to the ball, stuff like that. You have more, the more numbers you have, the easier it is for you to recover the ball. Those things you could do to kind of raise your odds in doing that. But as long as we're doing what we're doing now, this defense is built, in as far as the secondary goes, it's built on frustrating the quarterback and kind of teasing him into making mistakes. So I still see that happening. You know, oh, these are professional athletes and this and that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, you be the one out there trying to win a game and thinking that, you know, you can make these throws when you really shouldn't. I can see it happening. I can see it moving forward the same thing, because a lot of things are going in our favor. The consistent pressures, like you said, on the quarterback, so it's going to affect not only timing but also accuracy.
Just and disruption also, and mistakes. Just causing disruption, yeah, which equals any type of mistake.
And then the defensive line, especially how they swarm to the ball. Mm-hmm. If you got a guy, the first guy stands up, the next guy strips. That's kind of like your college days. Wrestling, mm-hmm. San Francisco State.
Yep.
First guy stands up, second guy strips.
It's team effort.
You know, always team effort. Got to be. But we're in first place.
It was a great weekend for the Raiders. It was a phenomenal weekend for the Raiders. Broncos lost on Thursday. Chiefs got their shit pushed in today. Chargers on a bye. And the Ravens lost. So the Raiders are now in sole possession of the AFC West and tied for first with the tiebreaker over the Ravens in the AFC heading into our bye week. Phenomenal. This day, Soto, could not have gone better for the Raiders.
Yeah. We're tied for the lead with the Bengals and the Titans at 5-2. Mm-hmm. And it was earned. You know, it wasn't like... Yeah. We're going out there and, you know, squeaking by. Like we went out there and we had a couple of tough home games that went into overtime. We went on the road and beat some good teams. We came back home and beat teams that we were supposed to beat.
Yep.
We went on the road and beat division rivals, which are always tough games. We went through all that bullshit with Gruden.
Rival.
And oh yeah. Well, I'm not thinking.
We beat all rivals. So, yeah, a lot of optimism heading into the bye week. 5-2, top of the AFC West, tied for top of the AFC. Give our guys a chance to recover. Hopefully, we get Richie Incognito back. A couple guys can come off IR. Josh Jacobs. Hopefully, it's a minor chest injury. He's back for the Giants in 2 weeks. Darren Waller, hopefully that ankle's fine, good to go in 2 weeks. And just kind of letting Olsen and Rich Bisaccia and the kind of this new look coaching staff giving a chance to kind of get their feet under them. Like, just, hey, let's give ourselves a chance to catch a breath, right? And even though we're going on the road to New York, it's the Giants, kind of a little bit of a softball. Hopefully we'll be okay heading into the Sunday night showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs coming up in a little bit. But a lot to be excited about. Kansas shitty Chiefs. They are pretty
shitty. That's what you said.
It's awesome watching the Chiefs suck ass.
Well, the rest of the league is using our playbook from the last few years. Just, okay, just don't let them throw deep.
Yeah, just rush three, spy Mahomes, and just drop like seven in coverage. That's the one thing Gunther did really well. Like, he held the Chiefs scoreless for two different halves when we played him last season. That's the one thing Paul Gunther can hang his hat on, was he held Mahomes and the Chiefs scoreless for two separate halves with that scheme.
That's why he keeps getting work, I guess.
Right? He just shows that one highlight film to every single interview he's got.
I'm not trying to brag, but that's it.
but I'll give you at least four quarters of decent defense every 16-game season.
Yeah, these guys here, and I'll even bunch them together two at a time. Two of those quarters here, two of those quarters.
So we got, so it's going to be an away game for us for our Wednesday show. I'm going to be in Abu Dhabi because the UFC's on the road. Yeah, the UFC's heading to Abu Dhabi with a great card next weekend. So regular time, regular show, YouTube and podcast Wednesday. Bye week next weekend. So maybe we'll do some kind of special maybe over the weekend or Sunday or Monday or something like that. We'll do something like that. Special guest, special interview. Soto will show it. Like, maybe he'll do like a cooking show for his like famous turkey chili. I don't know. We'll do something special for you guys next week with no post-game show. But again, Raiders defeat the Eagles 33-22, and it wasn't that close. Brilliant showing by Las Vegas, rolling with the loss of John Gruden. Our two Pro Bowlers from last season basically didn't play. Jacobs out halfway through the game. Waller didn't play at all. Offense did not miss a beat the entire game. Turnovers went our way. 2-1 turnover ratio. Defense played great. Carr played great. Running game kind of found a little bit of momentum. Offensive line, maybe the best game of the season by our old line.
If
not the best, pretty damn close. Special teams always baller. AJ Cole, Daniel Carlson crushing it as always. A lot to be really proud of. But still, we know what we got to work on going into the bye week. The Raiders got 2 weeks to heal up, lick their wounds, work on their errors, and just kind of get their feet under them after losing John Gruden, having the whole fiasco from email gate. So until Wednesday, when we're back, knock on wood if you're with me.